Thursday morning. Hope your day is off to a great start so far today. It's 10:06. Hi, and welcome to the second hour of our show this morning. I'm Rick Howe with you until 12:30 this afternoon. And here's what's ahead on the show for you today. Got something to say this morning? Is there an issue we need to talk about? We are going to the phones right now for an open hour. Anything goes this hour. Here are the numbers again, 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Give me a call. I'll have more in just a moment. Sports commentator Alex Walling joins me next hour as we begin a survey of residents about your support or not for a CFL franchise and stadium in Halifax. We'll ask a simple question, yes or no, do you support it? We'll hear your thoughts on the stadium issue coming up this morning. And again, Alex Walling joins me to help kickstart the conversation. That's coming up at 11. And after the news at noon today, historian and archaeologist David Jones is back with another Nova Scotia history lesson for us. 10:07, but this hour, it is your turn to sound off. An open hour is ahead. And again, the numbers to call, 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Well, the board of the Nova Scotia Health Authority will decide today whether to open up its regular meetings to the public and whether or not to make meetings or minutes of those meetings publicly available. This is the board that makes major decisions about our healthcare system and does it behind closed doors without any indication after the meetings as to what was discussed or decided. They don't even publish their minutes. Why is this still being allowed to happen here? This 2018. It's outrageous to think this group of basically political appointees are making these decisions in a closed forum. We're not allowed to sit in, and we're not even told what they talked about. How outrageous is that? There's no question these meetings should be public. There's no way they should be behind closed doors at all. Do you agree? Give me a call here this morning. Manitoba's premier is urging his fellow premiers to eliminate restrictions on interprovincial booze runs. Country's premiers will meet next week in New Brunswick. Manitoba Premier Brian Pallister says the provinces should remove their limits on interprovincial transportation of alcohol for personal use. He says it's an issue that has broad public support. Love to hear your thoughts this morning. Of course, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that the provinces were within their rights to prevent, well, residents in New Brunswick, for example, from going out crossing the border to Quebec to buy cheaper booze. Is it time to end those restrictions? Is it time to open up provincial trade barriers? Give me a call here this morning with your thoughts on that issue. What else can we get into this morning? Well, on the subject of road work, how come we haven't seen much of any work at all lately on twinning the 103? It's been a lot of clearing of trees, but, well, that was months ago, and since then there's been really nothing at all. What gives there? How come work has basically stalled, it seems, on what's going on with the 103. What else can we get into this morning? Well, we had some discussion this week about Penny Boudreau, the Bridgewater mom convicted of murdering her 12-year-old daughter and sentenced to 20 years in prison. And now that she's been granted 4 escorted passes from jail to attend church, it's prompted a lot of people who are scratching their heads about this one and say, how come she's being allowed out of jail? Well, another Canadian convicted of killing a child is back in the news this morning. Saskatchewan farmer Robert Latimer. You'll recall him. He served 10 years after he was convicted of second-degree murder in the death of his severely disabled 12-year-old daughter. That was back in 1997. Latimer was given full parole in 2010. He's admitted to the murder, but said he'd do it again. He said he couldn't bear watching his daughter suffer. Well, now Robert Latimer wants either a new trial or a full pardon. What are your thoughts on that? Give me a call here this morning. One other quick comment for me, and then we'll go to the phones. A Dalhousie professor is suggesting our hostility toward our neighbors to the south could drive American expats away and damage Canada's good reputation. He believes there's a growing negative attitude toward Americans, not as individuals, mind you, but as a collective. Has U.S. President Donald Trump soured our opinion of America and Americans? Do you think there is Canadian hostility that is aimed at Americans these days? Do you blame Americans for the actions of their president? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this issue this morning. Give me a call, 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Those are some of the issues we might get into this morning. But again, anything goes, and let's go to the phones where Tim is on the line to start us off here. Good morning, Tim.
Now, listen, I've been listening to this show pretty well every day.
Good for you.
And I have to say that you're one of the biggest suckholes I ever encountered.
Why do you say that now, Tim?
You defend the mayor and council, whether anybody up higher or anybody that gets ahead of you, you've got to go for a break or you've got to cut them off. But you will not fool with Jim Huskins.
And I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, when Jim Huskins starts talking, you don't interfere too much with him because he knows what's going on.
Well, I mean, I'll take issue with you. You're suggesting that
the higher up, you go right along with it. You should be.
Tim, that's just bullcrap, buddy.
That's not bullcrap.
Sure it is.
Your upbringing of a military family. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Tim, I think. Greg, good morning.
Hey, don't Rick.
I'm okay, sir. How are you today?
I still like you, though.
I'm glad to hear that. I've never been called a suckhole before, but I guess there's a first time for everything.
No, you're a pretty good guy. But getting to this NATO stuff, I mean, you know, everybody's blaming President Trump. And, you know, was it in 2009, Barack Obama said the same thing. Everybody's got to start stepping up and paying their 2%. So did George W. Bush. And, I mean, I think President Trump is saying, like, the Americans have been taken granted for years. I mean, it's about time that other countries start stepping up to the plate and paying their fair share.
But let's remember,
Americans.
But great, let's remember something. The U.S. has the largest military. They are the richest of the NATO countries. They have the most money to spend. They like to extend their sphere of influence. So while the other presidents, have encouraged other NATO countries to spend their fair share, some have, and some like Canada have not. But Canada also picks up some effort with its contribution to NATO missions. We just announced that we're going to be training.
That's good. Canada's okay. But the thing is, though, Rick, take, for instance, the UN. The UN operating budget. The Americans supply 38% of that operating budget. And here's the thing about it. There's countries that have been in the UN that are higher up in there that haven't paid their dues for years. That's just not fair.
Well, I agree but in regards to Trump and by flexing his muscle by suggesting America just might pull out of that, that's not the way to negotiate. If he wants the leaders of the NATO countries to increase their defense spending, then when he sits around the table with the leaders, then you have a reasonable discussion about it. As opposed to yesterday, he was accusing Germany of being controlled by Russia.
Yep.
Then he said he wants defense spending to increase by double what they had agreed to earlier by 4%. Now, this guy's all over the map, Greg.
No, but listen, though, Rick, what would happen? What would you do if that was Canada that was sitting in the U.S.'s position? Don't you think we'd want to say, hey, you guys got to pay your fair share, too? It's only about fair, Rick. It's about paying everybody's dues. Everybody has to step up to the plate, not always the Americans.
Well, but it is the Americans who themselves decided they wanted to be the leaders of the free world.
Yeah, but the U.N., but the NATO, still a bunch of countries there that have to try to pull their weight. I mean, we understand that some countries are not as prosperous as the Americans.
Yes.
They're not as big. We understand that. He understands it. But still, there's others in there that haven't.
But at the same time, though, Donald Trump is increasing U.S. military spending by trillions of dollars. And, I mean, that's just not something that other countries are able to do. If the Americans want to build up their military, so as Trump said, to be the biggest, strongest military in the world, well, that's his right. But again, Canada, Germany, the UK, I mean, we're not into that game.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like I said, I think the message he's saying is, at least try to make the 2%. They're paying 4%, the Americans are.
Well, not quite. They're paying
2%, that's not bad.
They're paying just a little bit over 3%. Canada's at 1.4%. I believe only the United States, the United Kingdom, Latvia, Lithuania, and Greece, I believe, are the only countries that have made that 2% or more commitment. The others...
And Greece was bankrupt, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, I know. But again, I think that Canada's military, we are building a new fleet for the Navy. We are looking at replacement aircraft for our CF-18s. We are re-equipping the Army. We are doing everything that we can afford to do to boost our military spending. But if we, as Trudeau said yesterday, just no way can we double our spending to meet that 2% commitment. He says we just can't afford it, basically.
No, I know. But again, then the Americans are saying, why is it always up to us? And they're the ones that the world comes running to when they need help for stuff like this. Well, the Americans are going to take care of us. The Americans are going to do this. Americans can do that. And that's just not fair.
I agree. But again, it's the way Trump's going about saying it and doing it that I think is...
But Rick, he's trying to stand up for the taxpayers of the U.S. And you can't blame a leader for doing that.
But he's also mistaken in a lot of what he says. For example, he said yesterday that the NATO countries were delinquent, that they owed the Americans money for their delinquent payments in the past. Well, there's no fee to join NATO. There's no delinquent charges that we owe the Americans, for crying out loud. But Trump
what about the UN though, Rick? That the Americans have been paying their operating budget for years at 38% of the time, and you think that's fair? The others don't pay, but yet they're put on security councils, they're put on human rights commissions, they're put everywhere, but yet they don't pay their dues.
Yeah, well, I hear you on that, but it is also the Americans that agreed to host the United Nations, and so that kind of comes with the turf as well, doesn't it?
No, but still, it's always the Americans going to pay because they got the more money to spend, let's make them pay. And I think he's just trying to make it, maybe he's going around a little bit wrong, and maybe, okay, I'll give you that, but I think the fact is, it's got to be fair for everybody, and at least a semblance of fair.
Appreciate the call, Greg. Thanks very much. 10:17 is our time. We've got Gary coming up next, Chris, Jim, Bob, and Spider on hold. And lines are open, too. If you've got something to say this morning, give us a call, 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Back with more of your calls right after this quick break. Coming up now to 10:20. And Mark just emailed in regards to the twinning of the 103 between Tantallon and Hubbard's. He says, basically, the bidding process has just been completed and the work should happen soon. Well, we'll see. But it's been sitting idle, that work site, now for a while. After they cleared money, the trees and such from the roadside, it's been nothing since. But again, Mark says they've just... end of the bidding process, and that work should begin soon. Back to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm all right, sir. How are you today?
I'm looking outside at this beautiful weather and saying, thank God.
Yeah, it's another nice day. We're on to a really good stretch of weather of late, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Rick, I would like to, and I'm not going to get into it, and you know my love for not just the football, but the stadium. I think the confusion, I can see the mayor holding off. I've been in marketing most of my life, and I just like to make a couple of points that people, when they call in to say yes or no, number one, we have roughly, let's say, 800,000 people here in this province.
Actually 900 and almost 900, and a little over 950,000, I believe.
Well, that's even better in my point then. If you calculate out we need 25,000 seats or have 25,000 seats, that leaves, let's say we have 928,000 people. Then that means 900,000 people. We can't fill a stadium of 25,000. This is just Nova Scotia, Rick.
Yeah, and we have, in this city, we have 440,000 people.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, 950,000 around the province. New Brunswick next door, roughly 700,000, 800,000 people. City
Correct.
Of Moncton, about 100,000, 100,020. Roughly, I'm just talking within the immediate area, people who can drive to a stadium for a football game. I don't see there's any issue with 25,000 bums in a seat.
No problem. In Regina, which had 190,000 and they come down, and I know this for a fact, they filled that stadium every game. But the fact of the matter was, the other people that's going to come through, there's nine other teams that are going to follow their teams down to see our team beat the hell out of them, hopefully. We're bringing people in that's never been to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick or anything else. So with that alone, but here's another thing, Rick, as a marketing person, they're going to bring in tens of millions of dollars from advertisers. And right across Nova Scotia, but here in our own community, there's going to be at least 10 to 15,000 new jobs.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
What's happening is people's going to expand, correct?
Perhaps. I mean, there'll be some new job. Now, whether it that many, I don't know. I have no sense as to how many new jobs this could create, other than it will create jobs, and not only as part of the football team, but
right.
As businesses expand around a potential stadium, they'll be hiring people and hotels and such. So, yeah, it'll be a job creator, and it'll be a revenue generator as well, I believe.
Oh, yeah, and another thing, Rick, these guys are going to own the stadium themselves. And I can see, now I have one complaint, so I'll say this first.
Be quick, I got other callers here now.
Yeah, basically what they're going to do is open the doors to a whole new value. And what have we got now to be motivated about is basically, when you look at it to any other province, is zero. But, and another thing, what I've gathered by people, they've got it in their mind, and maybe they're right or maybe they're wrong, if this company is going to build houses and stuff, I don't want any tax money going to them.
Well, they're not talking about, again, potential tax money. They're talking about potential tax breaks, Bob. And that's, again, well, the unknown, as the mayor said, we just don't know yet. Officially, anyway, I have a reason to suspect that unofficially we have a pretty good sense of, at least the city hall does, a pretty good sense of what's expected of them. But officially, there's been no request made. So we just don't know what it is that's expected of us. And again, perhaps by Tuesday's council discussion, we'll have a little more information. That seems unlikely. And I think council will basically be talking about whether or not they just want to see a staff report prepared on the possibilities here. Bob just emailed to say in yesterday's Herald, a Canadian press item indicated starting attendance figures this season. Toronto drew between 12 and 16,000 people. Montreal between 16 and 19,000. Both those cities, Toronto especially, has been struggling and always has struggled as a CFL franchise. But they wanted stayed in Toronto because it is Toronto. Montreal's had its ups and downs as well. And right now the Alouettes aren't playing so great. So fan support in Montreal, you know, the fans in Montreal love winners. And when you're not winning, well, they can turn against you. So I wouldn't read too much into those figures. Look at what the rest of the CFL, you know, what they draw in Winnipeg, what they draw in Regina, what they draw in Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. They get pretty good numbers there. And I think that the potential is for that here as well. Thoughts, comments, give me a call, and let's go now to Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you doing now, sir?
Oh, not too bad. I'm just listening to the conversations about the stadium and I got my own thoughts. Bob painted a very rosy picture of the economic state of what it's going to be, but it goes against the grain of 99.9% of the economic status of stadiums across North America, which proved, and you have guys, you have economic people on your show that said that they are not moneymakers.
But here's the thing, Gary. Many of those stadiums, if not all of those stadiums, had heavy investments by the taxpayers of their respective cities or regions. That's not what they're talking about here. They're not looking, again, we're not expecting there be a direct, huge cash contribution from the taxpayers of this city to this ownership group. And as Tim Outhit suggests, what they're looking for is perhaps a break on property taxes 20 to 25 years. So, I mean,
Rick, like I said before, no matter how you slice the pie, tax concessions, infrastructure, it's all taxpayer money, and it's going to be more than what the stadium is going to cost itself. Now, I want to go back and raise the issue about Mike Savage. From the first day he was elected mayor, he burned more energy trying to meet with CFL officials for a stadium, and continues on right to this very day.
But isn't that his job, Gary? Isn't it the mayor's job to try to attract investment, to try to attract new things to this city?
I know what you're doing, Rick. You're sticking up for him. But the thing is, he's favored a football stadium since day one, and he burned more energy doing that, plus the fact that we have a CAO that was responsible for the $100 million stadium in Moncton. I just think that there's something smells about this whole issue. And when you compare Ford Pads, which is publicly owned, basically, it's a P3 project, people still have to pay to get in there. And I don't know if there's HST that's going to the city coffers, but it's not cheap to go to some of these places. And you can't compare the public, four pads against a stadium. No public buildings pay taxes, Rick. So to make that analogy is really poor on the parts of even Wade Mason.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put you down, and we're going to do a survey next hour, Gary, as you know. We're just simply asking yes or no, do you support a CFL stadium or not? And I put Bob down already as a yes, and I'm putting you down as a no. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll hear what others have to say coming up next hour. Appreciate the call, Gary. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Hi, bud. You too. 10:28 is our time right now. Spider, stay there. You're next. We got Chris, Jim, Pat, and others on hold. And lines are open as well here this morning. 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Got something on your mind here this morning? Love to hear from you. We'll be back to take more of your calls after a news update. That's coming up next. Coming up now to 10:33. Hi, welcome back. An open hour underway here till 11 o'clock, and that means anything goes, and all you have to do is give us a call. 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Let's go back to the phones where Spider's been patiently waiting to have a say here this morning. Hi, Spider.
Good.
How you doing, sir? Yeah, we're kind of, you're kind of coming in real fading. You're not coming in real clear.
This better?
That's a little bit better. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because the music's interfering in the background.
All right, it should be.
I'm going to launch something first here because of something you said the other day that really sparked me to do this. When you said something about, it's a good point, well, in Nova Scotia, everybody watches NFL, not CFL. I did a survey. It took me 3.5 years to do a survey in that same concept.
Yeah.
Why do so many so-called Canadians, I call them, in Canada, only watch the NFL and don't even watch their own brand of CFL three-down football in their own country. So I did a survey right across the country. I've been to many great cups and practically every stadium in the CFL across Canada. And I listened to people, and I did a survey, and I come up with a rule, and I presented it to the CFL, the commissioner, on January 31st of this year, a formal one-hour presentation, because they were very interested in my rule.
Well, what did you discover in this survey?
Well, I discovered that the Canadian ratio was an issue because in every other professional sports leagues, they allow they can recruit the best available players, right?
Mm.
And they're not handcuffed by a Canadian ratio, including MSL soccer. But the other main major complaints is how I come up with this rule, where I'm going to launch very soon nationally. And the last person I surveyed, Steve Armitage, was sold on it big time, big time. He's behind it, stamp approval.
Yeah, but again, why Spider, how did you determine that?
Well, okay.
Why is it the Maritimers are more interested in the NFL than the CFL?
Well, the thing is, in my concept, in my rule that I'm just going to brief you on is, on the SAC, with the complaints within the three-down game versus the four-down game, why so many NFL Canadians watch NFL and CFL was mainly the two and outs, because the two and outs don't exist in the NFL.
Yeah.
And more so, more magnified in the red zone. So then you end up at a basically two down football game in the red zone, resulting in an easy chip shot field goal. So what I did, I come up with a rule that eliminates two and outs in the red zone and eliminates easy chip shots, field goals, completely, entirely.
So you'd like a rule change to kind of,
But at the same time, it still preserves a three-down game. And you're going to hear all about it because I'm going to do a YouTube three-part session on it starting very soon. I'm meeting with Steve Armitage very soon on this. He's behind it 100%.
Yeah.
And the rule is so catchy, and what it does is unbelievable. Spiders proposed new CFL red zone rule. I even got hats. Wait till you see the YouTube set.
Well, you let us know when this is all set up that we can access it. And
it's going to be sensational.
I'm sure, yeah. But you let us know when it's ready to go, and we'll pass that on, Spider.
Well, I'll get on. Just one thing, I'll read one thing here was so phenomenal about it. Okay, my CFL red zone rule, it cannot be stolen by the NFL because it simply unequivocally would not work with four-down football, but will work naturally and perfectly with three-down football, like it was meant for and tailor-made for CFL football, and it would solely belong to the CFL, not the NFL. At the same time, it will still remarkably preserve our CFL three-down game.
All right. Well, listen, again, when you get that website of yours set up,
it's big time.
You get that website set up, Spider, and we'll certainly pass that on, sir. 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I am well, sir. Apparently, I'm a suckhole because I let you speak whenever you call for some reason.
Who says that?
That was somebody who called in the first part of the open hour here this morning.
Tell them to build a bridge and get over it. I have an opinion, too.
What's on your mind here today, Jim?
The CFL.
Yeah.
I was a high school coach, a Bantam coach. I played high school football and what have you, so I loved the CFL. You can't compare the CFL with the NFL. There's absolutely no comparison.
Well, to me, the difference is the strategy in the NFL. That's what I like about the game. There's more strategy in the NFL.
Yeah, the other thing is you'll see that a lot of NFL coaches that have come up to coach in the CFL, most recently the coach for Montreal, they admit that our game is much a harder game in the sense of the length and the width of the field and the fact that we only have three downs. So it's you can't compare it. I love the CFL. But, Rick, I got to tell you, in regards to the stadium, if I may, I love Halifax more. And I can tell you why I say that. I say that because I'm tired of seeing these in-camera deals. And the fact that the Irving Shipyard got the deal it did, that's still the sword on my derriere. The fact that the World Trade Center is just hanging by a thread. And also the fact that it's another way to, how do I say this? As a Haligonian born and raised in the city of Halifax, it's another takeaway from Halifax when they start talking about putting it in Dartmouth. Now they're talking about a new police station that may go to Dartmouth as well. Small businesses here are suffering. So I've got a lot more on the agenda as a taxpayer and an interested citizen than building a stadium. But that's why it's difficult for me to answer your question, yes or no, because I would love to see a stadium. But I'm not so sure I like the process that the way it's going, and I don't know if it's the right timing now.
Well, but again, we don't know the specifics yet of the request by the ownership group. What do they want from the city? Is it a cash contribution? Is it a break on property taxes? What do they want, and what are we prepared to give?
Okay, let's turn it around and ask the public what we want.
Well, that's what I'm going to do next hour. What is it you want?
Oh, okay. Yes, are you okay?
Yes,
all right.
I mean, yes or no? Do you support a CFL stadium, a CFL franchise, and a sports stadium? It may be a rather simple, simplistic question, yes or no, but I think that's how we're able to gauge, and as council prepares to debate this on Tuesday, help council get a sense of what the people think here right now.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a whole lot of secrecy with this council ever since its inception. Mm. And I think that there's a lot of members of the public out here that have a lot of stronger issues. One of the big issues I have in relation, and it probably links into a new stadium, whatever, would be our transit system. If I could get a bus from Leland Park here and get into downtown Halifax in 15 minutes, that would be much better for me than a stadium. But I won't give you a new location on a stadium other than Bayers Lake.
Where?
And I don't know if they considered this or not, but it would be on the Halifax side, I would prefer, me personally. And Exhibition Park, buy the land, extend the land, do whatever, put it out there somewhere. I guess what I'm trying to say to you, Rick, is find a place in Halifax, and I'll support you down the road if you can convince me that you're going to once and for all settle the transit issue here and the housing issue for people that probably won't be able to afford a ticket to go anyway. Probably don't even own a car. Those are the priorities that I would like to see.
Appreciate the call, Jim. Thanks very much. Dave emails to say, hey, Rick, I've been a listener for many years. He says, I can categorically state you've never treated a caller with any sort of distasteful language. The person who called accusing you of being a suckhole has no sense of propriety and certainly doesn't have any respect for you and your listening audience. Your program, he says, is heard all around the world on a computer, and he has just let every listener know that he is a total ignorant fecal agitator. You can give give everyone who has a sensible comment with civility, a generous amount of time, and at times some extra time. Maintain your sense of decorum, writes Dave here this morning. Let's go to hear what Pat has to say today. Hi, Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. I'm a first-time caller. I've never called in before, but I have a statement to make or an observation, I guess, is what it is.
Okay.
I'm sitting at the Dartmouth Ferry right now. I'm looking at a beautiful Canadian flag flying. I see that I've noticed over years that on the McDonald Bridge on Canada Day, we put up these beautiful Canadian flags. But the day after Canada Day, they come down and we don't see them again.
Why not leave them up all year long?
Well, you know, I mean, I can see wintertime, they're expensive, but at least in the summer months, we should be flying Canadian flags proudly. We should be flying Nova Scotian flags. You know, it just seems to me to be a void there. There are a couple of bridges, nothing there, unless we're advertising for an event coming up like the Blue Nose or, you know, something like this. But we don't see any Canadian flags. It just seems to me to be something that we should have.
Yeah, and I mean, no question, you know, I see that flag that goes up every July 1st holiday on the McDonald Bridge. In fact, as soon as you started talking, I looked over to the bridge to see if the flag was still there, and you're right, it's gone. But yeah, why not fly that flag from the bridge, at least, you're right, during the summer or even the fall months before the winter sets in? And why not to proudly fly more Canadian flags and show some pride in our country?
Absolutely, and that's what I'm glad that you say that, because that's my feelings exactly. I think that, I don't know who owns the bridges. Is it a municipality or
no? It's the Halifax Harbor Bridges. They're a whole separate entity. They run and own the bridges.
Yeah, you know, we pay a lot of money going back and forth, and I have my whole life going back and forth those bridges. I think it wouldn't hurt to spend a little money, buy some flags, and be proud about it.
Yeah, good point.
Anyway, that's my comment. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate the call, Pat. Don't be a stranger. Call us again sometime.
I will do. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. 10:44 is our time right now. Chris, stay there. You're next. We got Dave and Donald on hold as well. And if you've got something to say this morning, give us a call. 902-405-6000 or 1-877-801-8255. Back with more right after this. And what's going on in Toronto this morning? A number of media outlets in Toronto have tweeted a note from the Toronto police who say that, quote, we are responding to an unconfirmed, uncorroborated piece of information relating to the GTA. As a result of this information, you will see an increased number of police officers throughout the city and specifically in the downtown core. Irene Preklett, for example, from our sister station 680 News in Toronto, just tweeted a question mark. What's this all about? And a number of other media outlets have tweeted something similar. So they're looking for some clarification from Toronto police as to what might be going on in downtown Toronto area right now. 10:48 is our time. We'll keep our eyes open on for any developments there. But let's go back to the phones now. Chris, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Rick. Brother, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm okay. What's going on with your world today?
Oh, little of this, little of that, just in the city playing with the idiots. Same thing, living that Canadian dream, brother.
Uh-huh. So what prompted this call this morning, Chris?
Oh, before I get to it, though, Rick, I know what's happening in Toronto.
What? What's going on?
Doug Ford's throwing a block party.
I think it's probably a little more serious than that from, again, some of the comments I'm seeing right now from the media outlets in Toronto. They're very, confused right now as to what the heck Toronto police are referring to.
Glad I live in Martin's Point, brother.
Yeah.
Anyways, the reason I called is I was listening to that fellow that called in earlier asking all these questions about why that is it that America has to spend so much on defense and its lion's share to NATO and that. So my answer to that fellow would be, you study your history and that, and the answer to that question would become obvious. And my feelings on that is because America, since they stopped fighting amongst themselves in the Civil War, have embarked on a policy of global domination. And you cannot run around this planet with heavy boots, sticking your nose in sovereign countries' internal affairs without backlash.
But that's been the history of the United States and their foreign policy. They've been sticking their nose into everybody's business, and it's just more of the same with Donald Trump, it seems.
And it's going to come back to bite you in the ass, Rick. You cannot do that to people. It would be like me coming into your home and telling you how to run your family. You know, you're not going to be very welcomed around the world. And the only thing that I find really troubling is that we allowed ourselves to get dragged into the Middle East, even though we tried for how long to stay out of it and become known as a peacekeeping nation. We get ourselves dragged into that god-awful thing over there. And it's like, people have to understand that since Moses was a pup, They've been fighting over there. It's been a volatile region. It always has been and always will be. But if you go in there and you stick your nose in there, of course. You can't go over there and bomb those people into submission no more than you could in Vietnam. And they've never learned. And it's a true saying. History is doomed to repeat itself if you don't learn from it. America never learned a damn thing about 13 years in Vietnam, sticking their nose into a sovereign country's internal affairs. But all you got to do is, like everything else, follow the money.
Well, let's talk about America and Cuba, America and in Nicaragua, America and Grenada. I mean, the list goes American and Iran. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. The Americans sticking their nose into other countries'
and
internal affairs.
We have to spend so much money on defense because they are absolutely despised around the world because they treat everybody like second-class citizens in their own country. They got heavy boots. They go in there tromping around. They upset the balance. The balance of power in the Middle East has been, it's been upset. It's been, and that's why you have what you have over there right now.
Chris, good call. Appreciate it. Listen, I got to run to other callers here, but good call. And remember something as well. Was it the Bush administration where there was this Pax Americana where, some of the big officials within the Trump or the Bush administration, this would be George W., we're talking about American domination of the world, and it was referred to as basically Pax Americana. And I'm trying to recall some of the names of the people involved in that. And these were like high up in the Bush administration who believed that America, basically it was their God-given right to do just all of that stuff.
Yep. And that's been their feeling for decades.
Got to run, Chris. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Donald, good morning.
Morning there, Mr. Howe. How are you?
I am well, sir. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I certainly support the stadium issue, but more importantly, I think that they're all looking in the wrong place.
How so? What do you mean?
We have in Darkwood, in particular Darkwood South, the Imperial Oil has, which is probably the most spoiled land or confiscated land that we have in Halifax. It's like our Sydney fur pond, Cairn Darkwood.
Yeah.
What are we ever going to do with that land?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, probably that land is so contaminated that it would probably cost gazillions of dollars to clean it up.
Well, it's going to have to be the federal, provincial governments, all the governments. But is this the place to build the stadium?
Well, it may be a place to build a stadium, but again, because of the contaminated soil that's on that site, I think the cost would just be exorbitant.
So what we should do is bury our heads into the contaminated land. And the federal government has to step in at some time. This is an opportunity for this to be solved for all of Halifax.
Yeah, well, no question. But perhaps a better idea for that land is to turn it into a container terminal, move Halterm from the south end of Halifax over to Dartmouth, and then you've got all of that room in the south end to develop and...
All I'm suggesting to you is we're trying to create a beautiful trail around all the Halifax Harbor, the Great Eastern Passage. This site has not only be able to use the water, take a ferry from downtown Halifax right to the site, take a train from downtown Dartmouth right to the site, take a train from Truro right to the site. And what about the space to build an economy in that part of town so that we all share in the wealth of Halifax, not just downtown Halifax, not just Burnside, not just Rockland Crossing.
Yeah, you make some good points, Donald. No question, but again, it's the cost of cleaning up that site that just would make it out of reach, I would believe. If we're talking already, there are concerns about potentially spending $200 million on a stadium. Well, that price could double or triple or more even when you factor in the cleanup of that land.
But, Rick, the point is very simple. Is at some point the lands have to be cleaned.
Yeah.
People, Dartmouth, the people of Halifax can't expect to be living in this kind of situation forever, and the land has to be claimed. As we did in Sydney, federal government came in, and this is the opportunity for the federal government to help us say, hey, look, we can build this, plus get a stadium for Halifax.
But look at
a win-win for the government and a win-win for Halifax.
Look at how long, though, it took to get that Sydney Tar Pons area cleaned up.
But if we don't start today, tomorrow never begins.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that regard, and it is a prime piece of real estate, and that does seem to, it needs to be remediated, it needs to be cleaned up. But to consider that as a potential site for a stadium when the clock is ticking on this team getting into the league, perhaps in just 2 years, I think that's...
I don't know about the clock is ticking. I mean, there are many sites that they could operate in tentatively until that site could be ready. And the commercial value in that part of Halifax or Dark is extraordinary.
Yeah, no question. It's food for thought, that's for sure. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Donald. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you doing today?
Not too bad.
Good. What's up?
I think I'm not going to be able to call in on your stadium hour, which I think is a good thing. So I want to talk a little bit about it now, and I think we should tread lightly on how we are perceiving how the stadium is going to take place, because I think the owners and maybe the partners and everybody is listening with big ears and probably even listening to your program. So it's their money. Those are the people that are stepping forward, and I think this is our last kick at the can. So I think we really want to look at everything, look at the whole proposal, and the people that are going to support this need support from people that will support them. So the people that are negative about this are people that won't go to the stadium to watch a football game, a concert, a university game, or whatever, and they have no interest.
Yeah, but
those are going to be the very loud, vocal people.
But, David, at the same time, these are people who are also saying that the priority is healthcare or hospitals or schools. And those.
But not till you hear what the partners and the people are going to put on the table. I agree with that, but you can't speculate. You don't know what they're looking for, and you can't speculate and call the program and be vocal and say, we need hospitals, we need this, we need that, without knowing what they're asking for first. We're putting the cart before the horse here, Rick.
Yep.
Really, when you think about it, that's what we're doing. We should have questions, I agree with you, but not so negative questions to call the program and say, well, we need a hospital before a stadium. Well, you know what? Is the private sector going to build you a hospital? No. The private sector wants to build a stadium. So if they want to put a stadium in a certain area, do I think Halifax is the area? No. It's a 200-year-old city with infrastructure you can't even get around now. You got a big building plunked in the center. You got a rink down there that you can't even get out of. They have to have cops block traffic. And you want to stick a stadium in the peninsula? That's not going to happen. The best spot is Shannon Park, but because everything has to go quickly, Rick, and you talked about it hopefully having a team in 2 years, I don't think Shannon Park is going to happen that fast, especially with the federal government and others owning pieces of that land. So you look at where you could stick it and where the partners and the people are going to be asking for stuff, obviously it's going to be infrastructure. So you stick it in Dartmouth Crossing and you build some roads, or you stick it on the other side of Bears Lake and you build some roads. You don't put it plunk into a city that you can't get in and out of.
Yeah.
Not in the short term. Maybe if Shannon Park comes along, can you imagine watching on TV and looking in the background on national TV and seeing the Halifax Harbor and the night lights? Awesome.
That would be awesome.
The only way that's going to happen, Rick, if CFL agrees to stick the team in a pop-up stadium for 2 years while that gets built.
Well, and David, you have to run, but they had a meeting in Moncton, and apparently that was the gist of the meeting, is that while a stadium is being built in Halifax, could Moncton host that team? And it seems that might be part of the plan as well. So, again, I do have to run and appreciate the call. Thank you. It is 2 minutes now before 11 o'clock. By the way, Gary just emailed to say, no big deal in Toronto. The mayor and the police chief held a news conference this morning to announce they are adding more resources to fight the recent violence in Toronto. And Toronto's having a real problem with the gunplay. And, again, bystanders, innocent bystanders right in the downtown area being shot. And that's apparently what the increased police presence was about this morning. 2 minutes now before 11 o'clock, we're going to break for that news update. Those of you who are on hold here want to talk about the stadium, stay there, because that's the focus of the next hour. Yes or no, do you support a CFL stadium and franchise here in Halifax? We'll be back to take your calls on the stadium issue after the news, and the news is coming up next.